Thank you, Donna. All right, good morning. Pray everybody is doing well today. Look around, give somebody that wave, that smile, the thing that doesn't pass along germs or COVID or anything else, and make it look like you're happy to be here today. Choir, smile pretty, because those that are online are watching you as well. Make sure you give them a hearty welcome. We're glad to have each and every one of you. As we always say, particularly with our online audience, if there's any questions that you have, our very own Dr. John Cazito will be over there monitoring you guys. He'll answer any questions you have, or he'll get the answers to the questions that you may have. So if you're watching online, be sure to say hello to Dr. K. That's what I call him, all kinds of different ways, but we love him, we appreciate him. And if you happen to be visiting with us today, if you get a chance, fill out one of those visitors cards for you. We need to sell your email address to companies so you can get a plethora of emails and text messages and all those things. So, you know, I'm just kidding. We don't do that whatsoever, but it gives us a record of your attendance. Also gives us an opportunity to share a little bit more about us at Central Baptist Church with you. We're so glad that you have chosen to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth here in this place today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you do give us. Lord, there are places I think about all over the world today that don't have the freedom to be able to meet like we're meeting right now. And just to lift you up and to profess you from the highest mountains. So Lord, I pray that as we have come together today that you will help us to prepare our hearts to meet you here. Lord, I know that each and every one of us have many, many things that are on our hearts, on our minds. Lord, some of us walked in today with burdens. Some of us walked in today with great joy. But whatever the case may be, I pray that we will truly give ear to the Spirit today, that we would hear what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us. For we know that your word does not return void, and you are here to speak to each and every one of us today where we are. Lord, I pray for encouragement. And Lord, I pray if there's one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that today would be the day that they would surrender their life to you, that heaven may be enlarged because of your word today. So help us, Father, in all that we do. May it truly be preparation for our hearts to meet you around your word. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, one of the things, like I say, this time of the year, you heard me talk about it last week. We're kind of in that season where we're taking our North Carolina missions offering, and that goes for so many different things. And like always, what we try to do is show you a little bit about where those offerings go and what they do. North Carolina missions offering, one of those things that's supported by that is disaster relief and recovery, which we have a lot of our folks here that actually work in that. Like I said, you know that myself and Jim McDonald, we drive the tractor trailers for Baptists on Mission. We've got Kirk, who has done, he's certified in maintenance, but does chaplaincy work as well. We've got Steve. Matter of fact, Steve gave the testimony at the missions rally this past week, and we really appreciate that. He did that in reference to Cuba at the missions rally. But at any rate, there are so many things that this offering goes to, but we want to give you a picture so that you can see what your funding supports when you give to this offering. So I want to say this because Brad's going to come up and lead us in song once our video is over. But if you want to give to that offering, we will be taking that through the end of next month. But just take one of the envelopes. You can mark it North Carolina Missions Offering. We will make sure that it gets there. 100% of what you give that's designated that way goes to them, and 100% of that goes into the use of what you're going to see as far as the way that these funds are utilized. So today, I actually think it's a disaster relief clip from where they were working in Maui when the volcano actually hit over there. So you can get a peek at that. Guys, show those videos.
Responding to needs after a disaster is a tangible way to share the love of Christ with hurting people. God has equipped us to respond at a moment's notice to disasters throughout our state, nation, and world. Thanks to the North Carolina Missions Offering, we can bring hope after the storm, whatever form that takes.
I've lived in this house for 32 years. And this was home. It's a beautiful place to live normally. It's a little disheveled at the moment. But yeah, this is home. It was home.
After wildfires destroyed the town of Lahaina on Maui, Hawaii, volunteers from North Carolina assisted homeowners by sifting through ash, helping people who had lost everything, trying to find anything that remained.
We watched that big fire come down the hill quite quickly. It was moving about 1 mile a minute. It was quite scary for a few minutes till we got out of town, because that fire was, you could see it in my rearview mirror, coming this way towards the house. And it turns out we found out in the morning because a helicopter flew down the neighborhood and showed the devastation. We knew we weren't coming back. That was the tough part. Knowing you can't come back.
I'll be right back. Shovels?
But we're back today. Going through the ashes, looking for valuables. It means everything to have these people here volunteering. I have a friend that they haven't found yet. You know, there's no closure for that family. I didn't lose a family member. I lost friends. So it makes me feel a little petty sometimes coming here and digging through this, but it is closure. And it means everything, this group of people right here. Couldn't have done it without them. That's for sure.
Good morning. Please turn with me to 52. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Let's stand as we sing.
Where am I?
Faithfulness.
Thank you, Brad. If you have your Bible, we're going to actually be looking at passages that come out of Romans chapter 8. So if you've got your Bible, and I really want to encourage you, particularly as you have the opportunities to be in the house of the Lord, bring your Bible with you. I know a lot of people say, well, I use an electronic version, and I guess I'm a little old-fashioned. I still like to kind of have it in my hand. Where am I old-fashioned? I don't want to hold it in my hand kind of people. That's because, we just don't read, right? We want to see it. We want to have it up front. We want to write in it. But today, it's interesting how what generally comes from the pulpit are things that that I have either had to deal with or happen. The Lord just takes those things and he makes them, part of what you guys get to hear. So in a lot of ways, there's some transparency there that you can see right through. But I want to ask you today, have you ever had that day or that week or even maybe just a season in your life where everything seemed to be going wrong? None of y'all have ever had that, have you? Not even for a moment, but just nothing seemed to go right, It can be frustrating and it can be discouraging when our plans and our desires are not being fulfilled and we just start going nuts. I mean, we all do it. We have those moments to ourselves. I call it, we break out the Yosemite Sam vocabulary, and all of a sudden everybody in the way winds up being a target of your disgust along the way, whether that's driving down the road and that wonderful godly individual cuts you off. And that's what you call them, a wonderful godly individual. God loves you. Yeah, I'm sure that's what you do. Or you just can't seem, everything started off great until your feet hit the floor. Everything, breaks loose. The coffee pot doesn't work. That's a bad one right there. You get in the shower and the knob comes off on your hand and the water is on completely hot. You got to crawl into the house to shut that off. Now you're going to be late for work. And those little erosion deals that just keep on happening along the way in your life, and nothing seems to be going your way. See, as Christians, we're taught to trust in God's plan. That's not generally the first place we go, is it? We don't usually sit back when the knob comes off and the shower's on hot water, and we usually don't go, this is part of God's plan. We don't do that. Most of the time, what we're trying to do, well, first of all, you're trying to keep from getting scalded to death. And then usually what's happening is you're thinking, oh, I'm going to be late. I got to get the water shut off. Now I'm going to be late. And then it's boom, 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 boom. We're generally not sitting there thinking, this is part of God's plan for my life. Now, I know that there are going to be people who sit back and say, would you mean even little things like that are part of God's plan for your life? I'm here to give you the definitive answer today that according to God's word, yes, they are. And you're going to understand why here in just a moment. So if you're one of those people, which I'm assuming if you're breathing, you're one of those people who have these times when nothing seems to be going right in your life, I want to encourage you to mark the passages that we're going to look at today. Stick a bookmark in it. Do whatever it is that you need to do so that when those things are happening, you can come back and you can revisit this for encouragement along the way. Now, as we consider these things, let's just go ahead and look at our scripture text and see what it is that the Bible teaches us about these things today. We're going to be looking at passages out of Romans chapter 8 and particularly verse 26. And I'm going to camp out in one of these verses, but we're going to begin reading at verse 26. And it says this, Romans 8, 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we realize that your word is a living word. It is a powerful word. And Father, it does not return void because your Spirit is the one who interprets it to us. So Lord, I pray that during these moments that you would truly help us give ear to the Spirit. Lord, that our hearts might hear what it is that you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, that we truly would be counting upon the Spirit to lead us and to guide us along life's path. Father, I pray for these few moments that I will stand and represent you, that you would be the one who truly would be high and lifted up, that you might draw all men unto you. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things I want to start with as we begin to look at these verses and break them down and unpack it a little bit, before we get into it, I know that there are times, particularly, there's a whole bunch of lessons that could be done on prayer, particularly out of verse 26. But it's very, very interesting, and I don't know, and I'm just going to ask this because I have a feeling that there's a lot of you that are like me. Have you ever been in a circumstance or a situation when you just didn't know how to pray for something or for someone? Have you ever been there? And oftentimes what happens is, you know, you're asking God because you believe that God can bring about healing, but yet you get to a certain point where all of a sudden you're like, I don't really know if that's what's going to be the best for this particular person along the way. So I don't really want to pray, Lord, take them home, but I really don't want to pray, Lord, leave them here. You ever been there? Yeah, I have. Let me tell you how I pray in all of my spiritual wisdom. Lord, I don't have a clue what to ask you. I don't have a clue what your will is in this situation, but I know you do. So what I'm asking is for you to do you. That's biblical, isn't it? You do you. You do your thing. I just want you to have your will and your way in this circumstance, in this situation. Now notice what it says. It says, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That is the cool part. When I say, Lord, I don't have a clue how I need to pray for this situation or for this person, the Holy Spirit on my behalf goes to the presence of God the Father and asks exactly what's needed. Isn't that great? You cannot fail when you go with this formula. You just can't do it. You can't fail. Now, that's not exactly what the thrust of today's message is, because essentially what it did, I entitled this message, When Nothing Goes Our Way. Yeah, or when nothing goes my way. And as we look at these verses, as we think about these times in life, you know, one of the things that we have to see is that even when nothing is going our way, here is something that you just need to know for a fact. When nothing is going your way, are you ready for this? God is still in control. Plain and simple. Now, some of y'all would go, well, duh, anybody that's been remotely spiritual can know and understand that. Well, then, if we really believe that, then why do we struggle like we do? God is still in control. Now, I know everybody likes to talk politics and everybody freaks out about everything, but let me make you a reminder that even when November coming along in this election, God is still in control. He is still on the throne. Why is it that we get so tore up over things? Well, let me tell you why. I can answer that question. Because who likes to be in control? We do. We are control freaks. And now you've heard me talk about that before as I've preached here. We're control freaks. Where are my control freaks out there? Come on, remember, confession's good for you. You like to be in control. You do not like to ride with somebody. You want to drive. You want them out of the seat. And that's all well and good until you get two control freaks in the same automobile. Yeah, I want to drive. No, I want to drive. And then all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, both of you trying to sit in the same seat together like musical chairs. You like to be in control. Now here, that's okay until it comes to God. You need to understand that God is in control of every circumstance in every situation. So question, how do we know that God is in control even when things do not go according to plan in our lives? Well, Romans 8:28 tells us, and it says this. What is it that verse 28 says? Here's the one I want us to understand. And we know. Does that say we think? Does that say maybe? That says we what? We know that all things. All right, all my people that have been around me for these 22 years know my statement. All means all, And that's all that all means. So, and we know that all things, the little things, the things that you don't think that you should carry to God, the things that you think that are too small, but the things that are bothering you along the way, the things that are not going your way, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, does that mean, I think that should kind of take some things out when we sit back and say, well, does the shower knob coming off that frustrates me, is that part of the all things? Yes, it is. Is the car breaking down part of the all things? Yes, it is. The simple little thing, is me losing my job part of the all things? Yes. You know, the things that seem so devastating to us, here's what we need to understand. God knows what's going on. They are part of his plan, and they are working together to be what God wants us to be and how he wants us to be that. So you mean losing my job? Now, somebody in here may be able to testify to this. Maybe you've lost a job or something and you felt devastated. You felt like the end of the world was coming. Only to a few years later, after you got the new and better job, looked back and said, oh, mercy. Oh, mercy. If I would have still been where I was so shook up over, I wouldn't be where I am today. Sometimes God has to get our attention by putting us in situations to move us along the way, because here's why. We're not willing to go on our own. We have no desire. We don't like change, do we? Not at all. I've shared this story with you before, but it was a story that I still remember. I read when I was in high school. Why this one ever sticks with me, I don't know. I say I don't know, but yet I'm preaching about all things working together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So yes, I do know the reason why I remember it. For moments just like this. The story was called The Verger. Y'all remember me telling you about that? And what happened was the story goes that there was this verger, and let me go ahead and kind of make it in a more modern day sense, the custodian. The verger, the guy who took care of the church, you know, he cleaned, he did all the little things around the church. And what happened was the church was called St. Peter's Navilla Square. And then what happened was St. Peter's Navilla Square began to have a massive growth to it. And the clientele of people were a little bit more on the higher society side. So you had this verger who was an uneducated man, but yet loved what he did. And so finally they went to him and they said, you're not a really good fit for us here anymore. We think you need to move on because you are uneducated and you don't fit the clientele of St. Peter's Navilla Square anymore. So basically he was fired. Doesn't know what he's going to do, and he goes out and he's got to do something. So he buys a little bit of candy and he starts to resell candy on the streets. And before long, him selling candy pretty much out of his pockets became him having a little cart that he pushed around on the streets. And that cart became another cart that became another cart that became storefronts. And those storefront stores all of a sudden became world renowned. And this particular guy, who is very, very wealthy, a very successful businessman in the candy business, was being interviewed by one of the national news leaders. And they were talking about business. And it was ironic that, and by the way, this is in the story. So what happens is the news reporter asks the guy, he says, wow. He says, look how great you did in business. And the guy shook his head and he said, I've been blessed. And he said, just imagine. He said, let me ask you this question. Where do you think you would be if you would have had the opportunity to go to school and to be an educated man? How much more do you think you know? Where do you think you would be right now had you been able to have been an educated man? And he paused for a moment and he looked at them and he said, I would still be the verger at St. Peter's Navilla Square. You see, it's all in how we look at it. It's all in the perspective. You know, he wouldn't be a successful world-renowned businessman. He would still be the verger at St. Peter's in the Villa Square. The things that happened in his life were the things that moved him to where God wanted him to be. And the same thing happens in your life and my life. Sometimes the things that we resist the most are the things that God wants to bring about in our life to bring us to where he wants us to be. Because remember what that verse says. All things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So in times of disappointment, we can trust that God is working behind the scenes on our behalf and for our benefit, right? Now, some of y'all sit back, and there are times, listen, I get it. There are times when you're like, there's no way. There is no way that this can be of God. There is no way that God is working behind the scenes in this. Let me promise you that there is. And you say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? I can tell you how I can say it. Because the Word of God says it. When we are blind as a bat and when we can't see anything and we don't even see God around us, I will promise you he's there. I will promise you he is moving in the midst of the circumstances and situations. You see, God's plans are higher than man's plans. I'm going to see if I put this passage down. I may or may not have. I wanted to share it with you. Yeah, I did. You don't have to turn there. But Psalm 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You and I don't think like God. He says, he's telling us in his word, and if we believe his word, and we better, he is saying, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So when we sit back and try to tell God what it's like, and when we sit back and try to tell God, because we're control freaks, that we want to be in charge, you are making a gigantic mistake. I hope and pray that you've had those times in your spiritual walk when you've said, Lord, I don't have any idea what you're doing, but I'm going along with the program. I don't have any idea what's taking place, but I'm going to look for the opportunities that you're going to provide along the way. I still remember one time I was going to New Orleans, Louisiana, and a big thunderstorm hit. I was in Charlotte. I was on my way to the convention. And all of a sudden, you know how it is, flights start getting canceled. This was before it was an everyday occurrence. But flights were getting canceled, so they finally said, yeah, we'll get you into New Orleans, but we're going to have to send you to Detroit. That's the wrong direction. So I'm going to have to go from Charlotte to Detroit to fly to New Orleans. And I'm like, do I have a choice? And they're like, yeah, you got a choice. You can either go through Detroit or you can stay here. I said, okay, I'll go through Detroit. It was ironic that I had a chance to lead somebody to the Lord in Detroit while I was waiting on my other plane and finally rolled into New Orleans at 2:00. Do you think that was an accident? No. God had this lady meticulously at this particular gate in Detroit at this particular time because the preacher is on the way. Roy, I'm going to give you a little detour. You're a night owl anyway. It don't matter if you arrive at 2:00 in New Orleans or not. But I'm going to send you to Detroit because there's a lady in an airport that is primed and ready to hear the gospel message. Don't screw this up. It's ironic. So you realize that somebody is going to be in heaven for all of eternity because of a flight cancellation. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. But see, here's what we do. We get mad. Why am I stuck in this traffic? Oh, hey, listen, I'm the first one. This is the pot calling the kettle black. I'm telling you right now, I will gripe and moan and hate it until the Lord slaps me around a little bit and says, hey, dummy, did you ever think that maybe I'm holding you up here so you don't get plowed over by a train up there. I can't tell you how many things. My angel's all beat up, I can tell you that. He's tried to resign a bunch of times, trying to keep me safe, I can tell you that much. But God is in control. We have got to go along with his program, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. And sometimes it's hard for us to let go. He sees the bigger picture that we may not see or that we may not understand. And therefore, we can have faith that he is ultimately in control and working for our good, even when things do not seem to be going our way. Even when things seem to be going wrong, God is still in control. So how do we apply that? You see, application is a lot of the process. You can learn all you want in your head, but how do you make application for it? Well, when nothing is going our way, we can choose to trust God and his sovereignty and have faith in his plan for our lives. Remember what God's sovereignty is? David Miller has defined it better than anybody I've ever known. The definition of God's sovereignty is that God can do anything he wants to whomever he wants, and at any time he wants, and be justified in doing it. Did you get that last part? And be justified in doing it? That's God's sovereignty. Now, God's not trying to squash you like a bug. He wants you to prosper. The word tells us that. But he also says, you're going to do it my way. As a parent, did you ever look at your children and say, it's my way or the highway? No hands are going up. My way or the highway. This is my household. We will do it my way. Now, there was a reason why. It wasn't that you were just trying to, you know, make life hard for your children. That's not what you were trying to do. You were trying to teach them some things. You were trying to keep them safe in some ways that they didn't understand at the time. How many of us later on in life all of a sudden had an epiphany, and you were like driving down the road one day when you were 35 years old and had your own kids, and you went, oh, now I understand what mom and dad were trying to do. How many of y'all have ever done that? The things you hated so much, now you have an understanding. Now you realize, because guess what? You have become them. Now you're the one saying, no, don't stop, quit. Because you see further down the road than your children do. God sees further down the road than you and I do. When nothing is going my way, I can find comfort and strength in God's promises. What are some of the promises that from God that we can bring, that can bring comfort and strength to us when things are not going our way? How about Psalm 46:1? It says, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. This verse reminds us that we can seek refuge and strength in God during those difficult times. We can just sit back and say, it's all you, man. You got it. Take the wheel. Remember the old country song, Jesus, take the wheel? Here you go. Take over, because I promise you, he knows how the road goes. He knows how the speed is. He knows where all the pitfalls are. See, God's promises are a reminder to us of his faithfulness and his love for us. They serve as an anchor for our souls. It keeps us grounded and secure in the midst of the challenges and in the midst of the disappointments, because folks, I'm gonna tell you, they're happening, they're gonna happen, they're gonna continue to happen in your life. You're gonna be disappointed. You are going to be miffed. There are things right now that you sit back and look at, and there are people in your life that walked away from you that you never thought would, and it broke your heart. There are things that have taken place that you never thought would happen, and it's broken your heart. There are family members who have betrayed you in some way, shape, form, or fashion, and you never thought they would, and it's broken your heart. When nothing is going our way, we can hold on to God's promises and find strength and peace in his unfailing love for each and every one of us. He will never, ever, ever let you down, period. When nothing is going our way, we can turn to God in prayer. That's another place that we should go. How does prayer help us when we're facing disappointment and when we're facing challenges along the way in our lives? what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You can pray about it. Some of you know the comfort that comes in prayer. When you hit those knees and when the tears have come out of your eyes and when you've handed those things over to God, you don't like it. Listen, there are things that are going to happen in your life that you don't like. That is all part of God's plan. I can tell you right now, there are going to be some tears you're going to cry. See, prayer allows us to cast all of our burdens on the Father. And what did he say? He said, cast all of your cares upon me. Why? Because I care for you. And his peace is an incredible peace. So when nothing is going our way, we can choose to pray and to hand our struggles over to God, knowing that it is he who is going to give us peace in return. And when I say peace, I'm talking about true peace, not temporary peace, true peace. I've said before that there are people that you know the circumstances that are going on in their lives, and they devastate you, and it's not even happening to you. And you sit back and say, how can they be so calm in the midst of this storm? How can they even smile? And they will simply tell you, because God's got a plan, and I'm trusting in his plan. Even though this hurts, I know that God has something for me down the road. And eventually, I'm going to come out of this dark, dark cavern. Eventually, I'm going to come out on the other side, and I am going to be better for it, because God's plans for me are to prosper me and not to do me harm. Now, folks, don't take that literally and think that your bank account's going to grow just because you're faithful to God. That is not what God teaches. Prosperity theology is the biggest lie straight out of the pits of hell that people fall for every day. God never promised us that at all. Now, that's not to say that he can't be good to you and he won't be faithful to you and give you more than some others. But let me tell you this, I will make you this promise. Again, another message for another day. If you can't be faithful with what you have, why should God give you any more? Are you being faithful with what you got? I always said if you were given a child an allowance and they couldn't be faithful with it, you're certainly not going to up it, are you? You going to help them get into even more trouble? Oh, there you go, meddling preacher, because that's what's going on in our society today. There's no consequences for things that are happening down the road with generations. Oh, it's not my deal. You pay for it. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Take responsibility. God is going to lead you where God wants you to be. See, when nothing is going our way, we can trust God's sovereignty and hold on to his promises and find peace in prayer. Peace, true peace, the peace that passes all understanding. That's the reason why when you look at that person, you go, I don't see how they can make it. I don't see how they're not just broke down in tears 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why, because they have the peace of God that he is in control. They have turned it over to him. And see, we're a bunch of control freaks. We don't like to turn our stuff over to God, do we? That's the issue. God, here, take this. And then we take it right back. Lord, I want you to work in this, but not that way. Take care of this, Lord. I need your help. No, I don't like the way you're going to do it. See, we do that in life, don't we? We do it spiritually as well. God's like, look, I'm either going to fix it or I'm not. You're either going to give it to me or you're not. And I can't take care of it unless you give it to me. See, God gives man choices and free will. He says, I'll fix it if you'll let me. You ever had that situation when you know what the fix to something is and somebody is sitting there, you know, working on it like a monkey working a math problem, and you're like, if you'll just hand me that, I'll give it back to you in 2 seconds fixed. No, I got it. You bunch of stubborn people. So I can look out over this congregation and pinpoint some of you, and we'll laugh together about it. It's like, oh, hey, let me see that for a minute. Oh, I know what you're trying to do here. I do those all the time. No, I got it. And then they'll fiddle with it another 15 minutes. It's like, look, aren't you done? Listen, here's all you got to do is, I got it. Here, hand me that thing. No. And then usually after the frustration sets in and they're mad about it, they'll go, here. And then you go, click, click, click. There you go. It's fixed. And they look at you and get mad at you. How'd you do that? Well, all I do, no, don't show me. Don't show me. They don't even want you to show them. Because you showed them up. Why do we do the same thing with God? I got it. Stay away. Now, a lot of us wouldn't admit to that openly. Some of us don't even see that, but that's what we're really doing. If you sit back and evaluate it, you let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. The Holy Spirit's sitting there. The Holy Spirit's the one punching you going, Listen, That's you. That's you. See, when we're facing disappointments and challenges, we need to remind ourselves of the truth of God. And that truth is that God is still in control. We need to hold on to his promises, and we need to seek his presence through prayer daily. See, as Christians, we believe in the sovereignty of God. Remember how we defined it? We believe in that sovereignty of God, and we believe in the power of his promises, that what God says in his word, he's going to do. He is faithful and just. Remember, when nothing is going our way, we can turn to God for comfort, for strength, and for peace. How about we choose to trust in his plan and find assurance in his faithfulness? Yeah, I've had a lot of those days lately where if it ain't broke, I felt like I'll just go ahead and break it so everything else can be broken. You ever been that way? Oh, this is not broke. Hand it to me. Click. There, now it matches the rest of the stuff in my life. Now it's good and broken like everything else. And it's frustrating. What I can tell you that's interesting to do is get to the point in life that when those things happen, you just kind of laugh. You smile. And you say, well, you know what? God must have something better for me. As I look back on my life, here's something that I have found very interesting. The things that seem to be the biggest roadblocks, the biggest barriers, and the biggest stumbling blocks later became the greatest blessing. When I had to struggle to get over the wall, when I had to go around it, when I had to detour everywhere along the way, God did something incredible on the other side of it. Everything that I thought I was losing, I gained tenfold when I followed what it was that God had in store for me. And sometimes God has to give us a nudge. You know what I'm saying? He just kind of gives you a little booty, kind of knock you down the right path. And sometimes it takes you losing your job. Sometimes it takes you, failing in school. Sometimes it takes whatever. Let me give you an example. You've heard it before. I was going into computer science. Remember, that's not what God called me to do. But I decided God needed my help. Sound familiar? Remember? Lord, I will be a pastor, but I'm also going to have a degree in computer science. Now, this was way back when, man, when the computers were the size of this room. The stuff that you're holding, it's in your pocket right now, was the size of this room. And I said, I'm going to be a computer programmer, and I'll preach on weekends. God's like, no, that's not what I called you to do. I failed two college classes in my whole life. Guess what two they were? Computer science classes. The only two I ever had. Failed them. See, I'm a simple-minded person, and God needs to let me know very clearly with no mistakes, and he did. And I know, listen, don't act like you hadn't done this before. You're like, God, if you could just speak to me audibly and tell me, I'll follow you. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Hey, nobody's around. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Let me hear you, Lord. Well, listen, he's going to speak to you. I'm not saying he can't speak to you audibly, but most of the time he's going to speak to you through his word, through prayer, through messages like this, and various other ways. The question is, will you follow it? I still remember what my dad said, because God uses other people in your life. When I came home, I had to answer for those two failing grades. Mom, I love you, but you're a pushover compared to Dad. I had to explain that. And I still remember when I showed him those, I won't call it a grade, my grades. That was when it was still written down, you know. My dad said this. He said, "Well, son, did you ever think that maybe you went into computer science and God didn't?" And that was the turning point. That was the point when I said, "Yeah, you know what? You're right. It's time for me to change schools next year. It's time for me to get on about the Father's business." And that's exactly what I did. Now, God's let me do some pretty cool things along the way, but it's been for His kingdom. He's let me do general contracting in disaster relief. He's let me do inspections, yeah, state certified to do these things for His honor, for His glory. He's let me drive a motor coach. Some of y'all have ridden with me on trips to be able to take kids to camp and God's people different places. I've had a chance to drive the tractor trailer truck. I don't get paid for that. The pay's out of this world, but it's fun. And He also lets me do this. He lets me do it enough to know I don't want to do that every day of my life. This is what He called me to do. So listen, you can do some cool things when you follow what God's will for your life is, and I promise that you won't regret it. So let me ask you this today. Where do you stand with the Father? Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to enter our time of invitation. But what is it that God said to you today? If you had to answer for that, if God said, "Look at me and tell me what I taught you today," about you, what would you tell? Not about anybody else. What is it that the Holy Spirit has spoken into your personal life today? First of all, are you one of His children? You know, I know this. He knows me by name. It's kind of like, you know, when your mom's mad at you, they use all three names. "Roy Lewis Carter, get over here." Well, God knows all three of my names, and He calls them. Does He know your name? Are you one of His children? Have you ever trusted Him? Have you ever given your life to Him? That's something you have to do. You have to say, "God, I want to be part of Your family." You don't get there by being good. That's not what gets you to heaven. You know, hell's going to be full of good people. You don't get there by checking the boxes of, "I did these things in church, and I served, and I gave, and I did all that." No. What gets you to heaven is having a personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ, His Son, who was crucified on a cross, buried in a barred tomb, and rose again on the third day. It's you being able to say, "You know what, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. And because of that, my eternal destination at this point is hell. But because of what Jesus did, that can change right now. So, Lord, I'm asking You to forgive my sins through Jesus Christ and save my soul." If you need Christ today, that's what I'm going to ask you to do wherever you are. This is your prayer to Him. "Father, forgive me of my sins. Save my soul and help me live for You. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, wherever you may be, if you did that and you meant it, then the Lord saved you right now. Now, that's not the end. That's the problem. Too many people go, "Oh, I did the thing." He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to be one of His children. He wants you to be one of His disciples. And that's cool. I mean, honestly, if you do it right, that's fun. If that's you, please let me know. Listen, we as a church, we want to celebrate with you. Even if you're part of our online audience, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you start that walk. We want to help you put one foot in front of the other spiritually. Maybe you're here today and you've just realized that you have been the biggest spiritual control freak on the planet. And you haven't let God do what God wants to do. And for a long time, God's been going, "Look, man, hey, you want me hands off? I'm hands off. And now it's time to give it to him. Now it's time to be able to be delivered from all the things that are going wrong in your life. And when I say delivered, I didn't mean that they all get fixed. What it means is that you're okay with it. You have peace that God is doing something. I've always said this. It kind of excites me when all the things start going wrong. You know why? Because Satan is trying his best to stop us when that's the case. I get a little bit more concerned when everything's going good. That's when you're like, I like what was said with about day two of the school. I asked the principal, I said, well, how do you think things are going? She said, they're going scary good. Some of y'all know what that means. It's going along scary good. Everything is going so good, it shouldn't be going this good. I'm waiting on the shoe to fall. Well, listen, spiritually, if everything is going so well in your life, then it's scary good. You better be careful. Satan is not worried about those who are not a threat to him. And when God wants to do something big in your life, Satan wants to stop it. That is when you start to see the things happen. I know it sounds weird. You don't sit back and go, glory to God, my whole life's falling apart. My house just fell down. Thank you, Lord. Hey, I just got fired, sweetheart. Guess what? God's got something big planned. That's not how we look at it. But it's how we can look at it. Because God's got some incredible things in your life. And remember what the word tells us. They are things to bring you up, things to prosper you, not to harm you. So what decisions have you made today based on what the Lord has placed in your life? Maybe you said, Lord, save my soul today. Please let us know that. Maybe today you said, Lord, I've been doing this wrong. I've been cranky. I've been grouchy. I've been the grouchy Christian. I haven't been the example of the joy of the Lord being my strength. So help me, Lord, today to live in joy and in peace for you. Because let me tell you, that's a great, great place to be able to be. That's when life is fun. And I'm thankful to God that it didn't take me a long time to learn that. Don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I get into a situation and I'm the guy who's stomping my foot and, you know, waving at the people in the traffic. No, I did not do what you're thinking I did. I haven't done that. I might shake my fist or something like that. You know, I don't do that anymore. It's the way I used to be. Because now the Lord says, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. That is not being a good example. Think about the reasons behind why I may have you held up in traffic. We're not going to know on this side of glory, but I guarantee you that God's going to tell us some things when we get there about some of the times that we were the most mad, some of the times that we were frustrated in so many ways. And he's going to say, let me show you what I was doing. I kept you from getting killed over here. I stopped you from, you know, blowing up over here. I stopped this from taking. I protected you in all those areas, and I did it by delays in your life. All the ones that you got mad about, that's how I protected you. And then we'll go, oh. So why don't we just go, oh, now, and say, Lord, I trust you. What is the decision that God has placed in your life today? What's going on? In the midst of all the havoc and mayhem, you can still trust him. You can still love him. You can still have peace, and you can still go forward. Listen, if you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. Would you join me as Brad leads us in our invitation hymn as we stand and sing number 281, Speak to My Heart.
May hear, speak to
Your eyes are closed as you deal with the Spirit. He has said something to you today, whether it's encouragement, whether it's something that needs to be corrected, whatever it is, will you deal with the Spirit in this very moment? As you continue to seek His face during this time of His call, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we come to this time once again that we have an opportunity to return to you that just a tiny portion of what you have so richly blessed us with. Lord, you tell us that you want to bless us in our faithfulness to return to you the tithe and the offering. I pray that, Lord, you would truly bless the gift and the giver during this time, and that we may truly be found faithful to your word and your will, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Mari. Just a couple quick things, and then we'll get you out of here. As far as our birthdays this week, today's Mike's birthday, right? His birthday is today. Goodness gracious. Be sure you tell Mr. Mike a happy birthday. I think he's working on offering right now, but run him down and let him know that you're going to wish him a happy birthday. Then Tuesday, Jonathan Cazito, his is Tuesday. This coming Tuesday. And then the only anniversary we're showing listed for this week is Rick and Millie Bailiff will be celebrating their anniversary. I don't know if it's today or if it's this week. I know it's one of those. Wednesday. That's when it is, right there. So if you get a chance, be sure to wish them a very, very happy anniversary. Just to let you know some of the things that we've got going on around here today. 4:45, choir practice resumes. Kind of coming out of the summer schedule and preparing for the Christmas music. So choir practice today right here, 4:45. And then David will be having the adult Bible study at 6 o'clock this evening in room 5 right down that hall. And then on Monday, tomorrow, there is actually an Awana leaders meeting from 7 to 7:30 in the Family Life Center. Room 116, that's that room right across from the kitchen. We call it the choir room. We call it all kinds of rooms now. But anyway, 116 for Awana leaders, 7 to 7:30. I think it's just to get information, find out what books are going to be needed and that sort of thing. But 7 to 7:30 tomorrow. Then on the 4th, September the 4th at 9 a.m. is the ladies' breakfast at Cagney's on Friendly Avenue. And on that same day, which is September the 4th, at 6 o'clock that evening, there is going to be the Ladies Connections meeting here at the church in room 116. Yes?
Ladies' breakfast is September 11th.
September the 11th. Okay. Did y'all get that? The ladies' breakfast is September the 11th and not the 4th. Okay? Thank you. I was just seeing if you were paying attention there, Sylvia. Make sure I'm doing it right. September the 11th will actually be the ladies meeting at 9 at Cagney's on September the 11th. And then that evening, which will be also on the 4th at 6, that's when the Ladies Connections meeting will be here at the church. Now that I've got you thoroughly confused, talk to Sylvia if you want to go to breakfast, and talk to Mari if you want to come to the Ladies Connections meeting. Just again, I want you to continue to keep Amy and Christian in your prayer as they prepare for their wedding that is coming up in October. So Jim will be gaining a son-in-law. Let's just say it that way. Jim and Terry will be gaining a son-in-law coming up on the 4th of October. So keep them in your prayers. October the 6th. There's going to be what we're calling the D-Life Boot Camp. The author of the discipleship material that we use around here is a guy named Bill Wilkes, and we're assisting with the association in putting this on. We're hosting this. So what's going to happen is on October the 6th, we're going to have a combined service with Awaken, and Bill Wilkes, the author of this material, will actually be here. He will preach that Sunday, and then there will be the D-Life Boot Camp. That will be from 4 to 7:30 that evening. There's a registration is going to be required. We're looking at $10 a person. That's going to offset your meal, your book, and all these other things along the way. And it will be that particular evening. So it'll be opened up to everybody, not only our church, but the whole association. So we'll try to get registration out there. Once again, that'll cover your meal, your discipleship material, and everything else. September, as we mentioned before, is North Carolina missions offering month. So we'll actually be taking donations through September the 29th. You can take one of those envelopes. You can just write missions offering on it or NC missions offering on it. We'll make that way we can make sure that it goes in the proper place where it needs to go. And be sure to mark your calendars for September the 8th. At 1 o'clock p.m., that is our church-wide picnic that will be out at Triad Park. We always say the blessing at promptly 1 o'clock, and I'm there by 1 o'clock. If I'm not, David will say the blessing without me, but you will be eating at 1 o'clock. Amen? There we go. Picnic. Mark your calendar. Come on out and join us for that, and we will have a sign-up sheet for that if we don't already. It's already out there, just so we'll know how many that our fellowship team needs to prepare for. We always provide hamburgers and hot dogs and just have a good old time. You got to eat lunch somewhere, so might as well be with us. So come on out. Then on September the 15th, our Awana returns from 5:30 to 7:30. Kids and helpers, as always, are needed. You can see my wife, Jana, or you can see Jimmy McDonald for more information on that. And there are registration forms on our website if you want to go ahead and pre-register your children for Awana. And then finally, the 2024 Women's Retreat, that's October the 10th through the 13th at Ocean Isle. I believe there may still be a couple of slots. One slot left. So you better get it while it's hot, which means that you need to see that lady right there, Mari, before you leave today. I would tell you to see Marcia, but Marcia is probably somewhere enjoying a wonderful, wonderful anniversary trip. She's probably watching along the way. But if you are Marcia and Ernie, hey, y'all have a great, great anniversary trip. And that's it's just been a blessing. So I'm sure that there's probably a bunch of other things that are taking place and that are going on. I just don't know what they are at this point. If I do, I'll tell you. But Pastor Dave, come on up, and he's going to let you know anything I've forgotten, anything else, and then he's going to see us off in a word of prayer. Mom, I love you, as always. I know my mama watches every week, so Mom, I love you.
There is one thing that wasn't in your book, and we'll be there next week. Got this morning. On Monday, September the 9th at 5:45 p.m. here at the church, there's going to be a men's pancake breakfast at night, okay? You can eat
pancakes on Monday. You can eat them again on Wednesday at Colfax with us if you want to. But anyway, this is going to be sponsored by the D-Life organization. It's for people who might be interested in D-Life or people who might just want to come and eat some pancakes and fellowship. Okay? It's for all the men. So Monday, September the 9th at 5:45. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please, before we go. Our Father, we're so thankful for your love and your word and what it means to us. And we're so thankful for this scripture in Romans that gives us the confidence that you are there for us constantly. Lord, we have an advocate in heaven, and we just thank you that we have a mediator, someone who intercedes for us. And we just thank you and praise you for who you are, Lord. God, help us to remember that. Help us to share it with those who are having difficult times. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.